It's a Patriots Monday here at Gillette Stadium. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand and Andy Hart. We just spoke with Jacoby Brissett, and now without any further ado, let's get right to it. Jonathan Jones on the line, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan, do we have you?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
We got him. It's going okay. How's things going with you? Another tough loss here. You held this team to 15 points on the one hand. On the other hand, they've been averaging 11 per game. How would you assess the performance by the defense yesterday?
I figure overall it was pretty good. I mean, but there are some things we still got to clean up. You know, plays out there that we have to just, you know, get better on. You know, stop the run better. Show up, do some more fundamental things a little bit better, but we're turning in the right direction.
Considering you were without Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers at the safety position, guys that basically play every play when they are healthy, how did you think the communication and the performance in the back end was with the backups and the guys, Marte Mapu and company, in there?
Yeah, I think they stepped up. I think they did a real good job of stepping up, communicating, flying around, you know, making plays. It's hard to replace those two guys, but they definitely did a good job of stepping up and filling in their shoes.
Considering it was a Miami Dolphins team that's operating with a backup quarterback here, they're on, I think, their third quarterback, and knowing that they have real weapons at wide receiver, what was the game plan going into this in trying to limit them? It seemed like you guys were kind of conservative, staying back. Is that accurate?
No, I think we got after him. I wouldn't say it was conservative at all. We got after him, forced him to try to make some throws they weren't able to. But, no, I definitely wouldn't say we were conservative at all. I think the guys did a good job of covering and doing exactly, you know, what we asked for. I think our biggest thing, just as a defense, is just stopping the run and being more effective in that aspect. But, you know, we were able to contain their, you know, big play receivers, you know, for the majority of the game.
With both safeties out, were you half expecting either DeMarcus or Gerard to come over to you and ask you to play safety yesterday?
I feel like I've been on paper, you know, the backup safety here for a few years now, so I'm always prepared for that.
We've talked to you a little bit about Christian Gonzalez and how well he's played, and I know early in the year you were sort of realistic about, oh, he's still young, there's going to be some ups and downs. Seems like there's been a lot more ups than downs so far. It doesn't seem like he's missed too many opportunities to make plays, and yesterday he had that nice interception on the undercut. Does he continue to impress you kind of every week against an elite opponent?
No. I think I said in the offseason he'll be one of the best players in the league, if I recall. I think, you know, I kind of said that in the offseason. As long as he continues to do the things that he's always done, he just has the attributes that you kind of look for, you know, in a corner. And at the same time, he just gets better. He gets better. So nothing that he does surprises me. I mean, if you're building a corner, that's what you want it to be like, is Christian Gonzalez.
We asked Jacoby about this just a minute ago. During the broadcast, Mark Sanchez mentioned that over the course of the week, he was at practice on Friday, I think
yes.
It was, and he said that things looked a little discombobulated out there. There were some penalties, a lot of penalties in the game, obviously. How would you characterize the week of practice leading into this one?
You know, I think from the aspect of what they saw was just replicating that offense. And I think any team in the league will tell you, unless you run that offense on Sundays, it's hard to get a scout team to really give you a good look of the motions, the movements, the shifts. I mean, I think they themselves had, you know, two or three illegal shifts and illegal formations. So I can imagine being on a scout team, you know, and trying to replicate, you know, an offense that a team practices every day. I think, you know, that's the hardest part, is trying to get a look, you know, from a team like that.
What is where's the locker room right now? Like, what's the mentality as a 1-4 football team with still a lot of season to play? And you've had a couple games here, especially these two home games, that really were winnable games. So where are you guys kind of at mentality-wise or confidence-wise?
I think just getting better, just continuing to get better. The beauty of having such a younger team is just guys are just still hungry and still learning, and just everybody's improving on a personal level and then also as a unit and as a team. And so it's different than if you have a veteran team, you know, that are losing. It kind of goes away. Team starts to fall apart a little bit more easily. But having, you know, a younger team who everybody's, you know, buying in every day, just continually fighting and trying to get better, is what I see so far.
What is the effect on the locker room with this story that obviously broke this morning about Jabril? It's one of the captains of this defense, and those are very serious allegations and accusations that have been charged against him. You're sort of a senior member of this locker room and of this defense. How does that news sort of land?
Yeah, I think everybody's just kind of let the process play out. I think that's the biggest thing that guys, you know, guys can do is just to sit back and let the process play out and let him handle, you know, whatever situation that he has.
We obviously don't get a chance to be on the practice field like we are in the summer. We've been told that Drake May gets approximately 30% of the reps during practice during the week. I'm assuming that means you kind of are on the other side of the ball occasionally when he is on the offense, whether it's scout team or your offense. What have you seen from Drake May through the first month plus of his career?
Just continue to get better. It's always hard to evaluate guys on the scout team because, like I said, you're not really trying to do what we do. You're trying to do, you know, what another team does, and you're trying to give the defense a good look, you know, at what someone else does. So, you know, when you're on scout team, it's not so much being your best version of you, but, you know, doing your best job to give, you know, a look to the opposite side. But he's just continuing to get better, you know, having a good confidence, just good morale, how he carries himself. He's been getting better.
Does he challenge you guys? And I mean, you mentioned Gonzalez. If you were building a corner, he kind of has all the attributes. I think a lot of people look at Drake May and say if you were building a quarterback, he might have a lot of the attributes in terms of off-platform throws, size, athletic ability, arm strength. Does he challenge you with at least those sort of physical attributes?
Yeah, I mean, he can make throws. I mean, I think that's, you know, the reason he's drafted as high as he is. He has the ability to do, you know, everything that they're looking forward to him to do, and that someday he will.
With the news, we haven't talked to you since this broke, obviously, but there was a show right here in this room that said that last week you guys, or the locker room, was on the brink of a mutiny. Do you have any reaction to that now? It's been about a week, but it was after the San Francisco game, obviously, leading into this game. How did that sort of hit the locker room, and what did you think about it?
I don't think it fazes us. I think, you know, we know who we are. We're in the locker room. We know. And I think, you know, other people might have different definitions of words that they might use, but I wouldn't associate our locker room with that.
You have a first-year head coach. You have DeMarcus Covington. Those guys are learning on the fly. That's just the reality. They haven't been in their roles before. How have you seen them maybe improve as coaches from the summer to week one to now we're heading into week six?
I think he's just trying to be consistent. I think that's one thing I can say about him. They've tried to just be consistent in how they approach every week and how they approach the team. You know, they're not very emotional to get too high or too low, and they try to be consistent. And that's one of the good things that you look forward to in having with coaches.
Houston Texans coming up this weekend. I know you guys were obviously looking over the film and everything from today. Another team with a high-powered offense and a lot of good wide receivers. What's the opening strategy to go against C.J. Stroud and, you know, some of those Diggs and the rest of those guys?
Man, their offense has been electrifying. You know, from Stroud coming into this league, you know, what he was able to do last year and this year continue to build on it. They have a good receiving core, as you mentioned. You know, just guys who can do a lot of different things, and when they're healthy, they're a problem to deal with. So it'll be interesting to see if we can step up, you know, and come out with a win. I think that's, you know, our goal for this week is to go out, you know, home win, get our first win at home for the season, and build off of that.
Jonathan, are you the kind of guy that takes losses home with you? Are you does it affect your mood when you lose?
Somewhat. I'm a 12 to 24 hour guy. Like, and that's in anything in life. Is I give myself some time to reflect on it, and then after that, yeah, if I can't change it, I move on from it.
All right, we'll leave it right there, Jonathan Jones. Good luck next week against Houston, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you. See you guys next week.
All right, Jonathan. That's Jonathan Jones, a defensive back for the Patriots, joining us here on a Patriots Monday WEEI afternoon. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Got a lot to react to there from Jones, from Brissett just a moment ago. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Terrible report. No, somebody that has no idea what they're talking about.
I don't think it plays us. I think, you know, we know who we are. We're in the locker room. We know, and I think, you know, other people might have different definitions of words that they might use, but I wouldn't associate our locker room with that.
I just realized listening to it again, in the follow-up question, I asked Jacoby, I was like, so you just call it post-game frustration? And he goes, no. I'm calling it terrible reporting.
Oh, yeah.
From a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me throw in a little extra from a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
You almost took him in a different direction, and he was like, no, I'm going to say what I plan on saying here.
Yeah.
I got a message to send.
And I wasn't trying to manipulate the answer or anything. I just sort of was like, okay, so it was – I mean, obviously they're frustrated after a loss. I'm sure they were frustrated yesterday after that loss. That was a closer game, obviously, than the Niners game. But, yeah, that is not what he was – he didn't want to answer it that way.
He had a message to send. Yeah. Bill used to get like that. Sometimes Belichick, you'd ask him a question, and he wouldn't answer your question. He would say what he wanted to say. He came in with like a bullet point, a talking point that he was going to express, and that's what Jacoby Brissett just did, which I find interesting because I connect that to the fact that he said he expects to start this week.
Two big headlines from this, I'd say.
Right. Yeah. And I connect them because I wonder if he had been told this morning or sometime today, by the way, you're not starting anymore.
Right.
I don't know if he passionately defends the head coach and the locker room and the mutiny.
Sure.
Like, yeah, whatever. I know I'm still a captain, but you just benched me. Defend your own ass.
Yeah.
You're on your own, mutiny guy. But like,
there may not be a mutiny. I'm not jumping up to stop it if that's the case.
Right. Yeah. And I just, that passion, because there was some passion there.
Yeah.
Right. Tied into the fact, now, maybe he hasn't been told anything yet, and he's just expecting to start because he started the first five games.
Right.
But I just found that interesting that he expects to start, and he passionately defended the locker room and his head coach, Gerard Mayo. That gives me pause. No offense to him. It also concerns me that he's going to start, and we're going to continue to delay the Drake May era here. Jonathan Jones, I wouldn't say gave a passionate support of Drake May.
Mm-mm.
I would say the most passionate support of Drake May on the station today, and Stiz, I think you have this audio ready to go. When Hunter Henry was asked about Drake May, he got borderline giddy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, Stiz, do you have
hold
that?
Hold on. I'll grab it. Hold on.
Because I found that interesting. That's a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not.
He's a pass catcher, yeah.
Pass catcher.
Right.
And he has defended Jacoby Brissett. He has supported. I don't want this to seem like he has been lukewarm on Jacoby. Mm-hmm. No, he has supported
Jacoby.
He hasn't
been campaigning for May all
correct.
Year or anything, yeah.
But when he was asked about Drake May, he had, I took as sort of a normal, genuine, emotional kind of response. Kind of like Jacoby just did,
mm-hmm.
defending his head coach
yeah.
against the mutiny comments. I thought Hunter Henry had interesting comments about Drake May.
Yeah. Earlier today, Mike Reese, around 10 a.m., said this. He said, opinion analysis. Notable shift in Gerard Mayo's answers regarding QB situation in day-after-game video conference compared to past weeks. Mayo said last week the way the team won its only game was unsustainable, and he seems to strongly be considering a switch to Drake May. Schefter quote-tweeted that right around the same time and said a QB change could be coming soon to New England with rookie first-round pick Drake May potentially starting Sunday versus the Texans. And it seemed like that was it, right? It seemed like he was just quote tweeting Mike Reese, and that was, you know, just sort of, not that Schefter's an aggregator, but that he was just sort of pumping up his ESPN guy. Then Schefter on Instagram posted a picture of Drake May and wrote this in his caption: based off of HC Gerard Mayo's tone and answers at today's press conference, as well as other sources, a QB change could be coming soon to New England with Drake May potentially starting Sunday against the Texans. Now, that's not in the first tweet. He doesn't say anything about any sources. He's just sort of amplifying what Mike Reese is saying.
Right.
In his Instagram caption, he says, the answers at today's press conference, as well as other sources, but then says a change could be happening, not that it will be happening.
There's a lot going on there.
There's still a lot of, right? I mean, he words things very carefully, Adam Schefter, and we'll talk to him this week. But do you take anything, you make anything of that?
The other sources part, you have to perk up a little bit.
Right.
Because he has good sources. Like, he doesn't have weak sources. That doesn't mean he talked to a guy who talked to a guy. If he has sources,
Sources, Evan Lozano.
No. I think his sources are generally, like, executive and ownership level, coach level, like, guys that would be in the know in terms of what discussions are going on. Now, I also think the team is going to... Remember how careful they were week one?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, you know, we had to wait. I got to tell the team. I want to tell the team first. And then he told the team, and immediately Schefter and Rap Sheet put out the... tweets and everything, and I think they knew beforehand and kind of played ball with the team. We're not going to report it until you tell your team. Good soldiers. But he was careful about it. I think you got to be careful here because, and that's where I go back to how respectful Gerard Mayo was of Jacoby Brissett this morning, respectful of the hits he's taken, the lumps he has taken, dealing with idiots like us, quite honestly, every week. Do you think you're starting? Is it your job? You know, what about Drake May? They should put... Yeah, they can't put Drake May back there. They'll leave you out there as a meat shield, right? Aren't you the one that says meat shield?
I do say meat shield, yes.
Gronk wants you to be the meat shield. Terry Bradshaw is talking
about Kennedy a meat shield. I've called Alex Cora a meat shield. I've called Brissett a meat shield. A lot of meat shields.
So you're kind of a one-trick pony.
No, I think it's applicable to a lot of different people.
Okay. And Roger Goodell?
Roger Goodell's king meat shield. And I think that it's an important, not important, but I do think it's an accurate way of describing what those guys have to do. I think that's what they are.
So I think Gerard Mayo needs to be respectful of that. And also,
one-trick pony. Like, you don't say the same thing all the time. Anyway,
I like how you get offended.
I got offended, but it took me a minute.
There was a delayed reaction there, absolutely. But you may need... First of all, I think you want to be respectful to Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you may need him in a week, 2 weeks, a month.
Right.
Like, you don't want to lose him.
Yeah.
Hell, we were talking during the break. Bryce Young got into that game. Like, people thought he was done. Adam Schefter told us he was done in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Well, he's playing still. He's still on the roster, and he's still playing.
And he may be done as a starter for the rest of the year. I mean, that's still possible.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's still there. Yeah.
So I'll be interested to the evolution of this story, the reports, the Schefters. I just checked Crap Sheet's timeline. Mm-hmm. He's had nothing. Okay. Usually those two go kind of hand in hand.
Right.
They get the same information.
Like Shams and Woj. By the way, Shams taking over for Woj at ESPN. Bravo. Good job. Way to
bet you that comes with a raise, huh?
Get in there. I would think so, yeah. I would think
that's
it is.
Probably pretty good money, although as Schefter explained to us, like you kind of give up your life and you're got to be taking calls in the shower and bedroom and anywhere else.
And he's like, bring it on. I already do that for football, but give me another sport where I'm the main guy. That sounds fine.
Yeah.
Not going to be him, unfortunately. He's now co-workers, though, with Shams, who's going to take that role
so,
over.
Given, I don't want to call him a liar, because I think he believes he's starting on Sunday.
Okay, yep.
Did it change your feeling? Who do you think? I am still betting that Drake May starts on Sunday. Who do you think starts on Sunday?
I think May is going to start on Sunday, but
even though the guy just told us
and I think that May, you just said you don't want to lose the guy. I think him coming on and saying that the way he's saying it, I don't think anybody told him today that he's not going to that he's going to lose the job. Maybe that'll happen sometime later in the week if it happens at all. But I think that now the way he answered that question implied to me, I still think I should be the quarterback, and this is my team still. And if you take that away from him, you just say you talked about lose it like. This might be one of his last times to be a starting quarterback or start the season starting on a team.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, he knows that. And once that's gone, you know, there's like a big – it's bigger than just replacing Bryce Young or, you know, somebody else, Mac Jones. With someone like Jacoby Brissett, I feel like there's more of an impact there. And he knows that. And Gerard Mayo probably knows that too. And I think that could get awkward, yeah.
And that's why I wonder – so Gerard Mayo tells us when he talks to us, he's talking to his team.
Right.
Because he knows they all listen. Social media, they see it. Is Jacoby Brissett talking to his head coach when he talks to us, when he talks about, yeah, it's nice that we finally get the same offensive line out there. It'd be nice if we get some continuity.
Good question. It's nice
that we see some spark in the receivers and getting those guys out there. Like, when he was talking about some of the optimism of the offense in the passing game, is he talking to the head coach, like making an argument for himself to continue to be the starting quarterback?
Right. You know, we had that drive at the end of the game. We got down there. We just, you know, foot didn't come down.
We were a heel away.
Right. Yeah. And I did sort of set him up for that, obviously, to start the thing off.
No, we do. I mean, I know. We do all that.
That's what you do. But he jumped right into it. You know, he was a willing participant. So, yeah, maybe he was.
Because I do. I think you got to tiptoe through the next couple days, and you got to handle it, especially Gerard Mayo is supposed to be a communication guy. He's not Bill Belichick. For all I know, Bill Belichick would go out to practice on Wednesday and say, first team, and when Jacoby runs out, he'd go, hey, Jacoby, let Drake take these.
Not so fast, yeah.
And it's like, wait, what? What? Yeah. Like, I think Gerard has to treat this the way he treated week one, the way he treated the discussion of who the starter was week one.
And he doesn't avoid, like, he walked right out there and talked to Matthew Judon. It didn't go well, but, I mean, he doesn't avoid those things.
You have to. Goes with the
take him head on,
Even today, I thought his mood this morning with the morning show was as upbeat as you could expect from a 1-4 football coach who just had an embarrassing loss to an embarrassing team in an embarrassing game.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, I'm here. This is my job. It's on me. We got to get better. Like, we're not playing well. Like, he is very honest and almost to the point where I'm like, are you too distant? Like, should it be bothering you more? Mm. Are you not invested enough? And that's where I get back to. No, because I think he's invested in 2025.
Right.
This is a 2-year plan. He told you from week one, dummy. He said, we're going to get win some games, whether that's this year or next. So he's in the fifth mile of the marathon.
Right.
That's why he's not worried about anything, because it's a long race ahead, and it's slow and steady wins
the race.
And
we almost won these two games. Only one score losses, you know? Or maybe we're ahead of schedule. Like, I'm just saying, like, these are the things you convince yourself of when you're a bad team.
Right. So I find that interesting, but his mood was definitely interesting this morning.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's get to your phones here before odds and ends. David's in the car. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
You got it, David.
So one thing I wanted to comment on is the media in the locker room, why I'm against it. So when I played in Europe for quite some time, I hated it. And all my, you know, my co-players, the same thing. We hated when the media came in. And then when we had to meet with the radio stations, because they twist things the way you say things. They read too much into it.
I haven't had that experience. I don't know, David. I think you're way off on that one.
No,
I'm joking.
No,
just go on, David. Jeez, it was a joke. My God.
I know. But that's the thing, you know. And I feel bad for Brissett, because this is a lot. You guys just mentioned and you nailed it. This is his last chance to be a starter. I think after this, I think he's completely done. So, unfortunately, you know, he's been in the league for a while, and he's getting up there in age, and he hasn't been very successful. So we're not going to see much of him after this.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
I would also play my cards right if I were him and be respectful of Drake May, because I wouldn't mind latching onto Drake May and being his personal backup for the next 3 to 5 years at, I don't know, $3 or $4 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's not
if you like him. Now, if you don't like him, then I'd move on. But
I don't think at $8 million.
No. $3 to $4 million.
Yeah,
that's still good money.
Still, absolutely.
Brian said he'd do anything for $500,000.
Yes, he did.
Anything.
He said he would.
He
really
said it with like tone, like anything. And I was like, you're making me uncomfortable.
Started unbuttoning his shirt. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
right.
I was like,
they're not writing their
checks.
That's
not what we're doing here.
Just wanted to demonstrate what anything meant. Let's go to Jim in Weymouth. Go ahead, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good.
Hey, in light of what happened this weekend, I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the Jabril Pippers situation.
Yes.
Bob Kraft, you know, strikes me as someone that is overly concerned with his own image. And basically, how long are they hanging on to this guy? Because I can't imagine they don't cut him loose after this.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, I think that's probably where this is going. The Kraft's not just obsessed with their own image. I mean, they are, but they also have a real serious domestic violence, no tolerance type of thing that goes all the way back to, what was the
Christian Peters.
Chris Peter, yeah, and the kid out of Nebraska who was really, Myra who sort of took the lead on that one and made sure he didn't play a snap for this team. And I think that ever since then, they've had a real serious commitment to that. They've presented themselves as if they do, and now they have an opportunity here to practice what they preach. I hate to put it like that. I mean, it's a guy's livelihood, but he's accused of something really, really awful here.
Accused.
And it's an accusation. He's been charged. And his lawyer says that he has evidence that's exculpatory, and the process does generally have to play itself out in the legal system. But for the Patriots, they could decide to make it, you know, they could do something right away.
But I don't know that I would. And I think one thing has changed there is Matt Ariza?
The punter, right?
The punter for the Bills,
right.
Who's now, I believe, the Chiefs punter and will be punting tonight, who was accused of rape, and they cut bait immediately.
Right.
And he was exonerated.
I forgot about him, yeah.
And I do think you
what
have
happened?
To
be, she went back and said she lied or something?
Yeah,
or something
but it was completely blown up. It whatever, never happened. And I think you got to be careful here, especially the lawyer, and I know lawyers do this, I'm not naive to this, but the lawyer was very, very strong in his refuting the report, saying, I have video evidence.
Right.
You have evidence, video? And he said, yes, and other evidence. So I think you have to let it play out to some degree, and I think that's where the gray area is the NFL. Do they use the commissioner's exempt list to give the team the out? You don't have to cut them. You can save face. Let it play itself out in court.
That's usually based on the accusation, right? Like they don't use that unless
with some
it's a
evidence.
Bad accusation.
Like, I think accusation with some evidence. But I would also argue, are we implying that they would cut him for domestic violence but keep him with cocaine issues?
I'm implying that, yeah.
Okay. No,
I think a suspension. You might get suspended or put in the diversion program, whatever it is.
Oh,
they
I think
do.
You'd get suspended. If it was cocaine in his wallet and he admitted it, and it is, I feel like there's going to be ramifications for that.
I would think so. I don't know exactly what they are because I don't know if he did any, you know, like I don't know if he didn't fail a drug
it's
test.
Not mine, man.
You know, like that type of thing. And it, not to make light of, you know, drug problems or anything, but like he didn't fail a drug test. It was on his person. He didn't necessarily consume any of it.
He wasn't selling it. There was no report of like intent to distribute.
Right. So for something like that, it seems like diversion program is usually the first step. I don't know if Pepper's ever had anything else in his past that would make him, you know, a repeat offender. You know, sometimes those things don't make the news, but I would imagine that's the first step there, unless they find out more about it. I just, you know, it's the other thing that's about his termination or potential termination from the team.
And not that this matters, but they clearly like and respect him. They re-signed him. He's a captain.
Yeah.
He's a leader. Like, I said it before, I think a lot of Patriots fans liked and respect him. I think he had become some of, like, last year, he was on the short list of players people liked watching.
Yeah.
He was physical. You know, he had that comment that he even handled well. You're lucky we asked or whatever.
Right.
We would have beat you. But then he kind of stood up at his locker.
He went from that last year to a captain this year. That's right. You know what I mean? Like, that's generally not how that goes.
Right. So I think there is probably a desire or an appetite to let this play out, to really make sure. And if he did what he did, I think he's gone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what he's accused of. But if he didn't, or there's some he said, she said, or gray area here, I think there's probably an appetite to let this play out.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what Jones said when we asked him. And I think that that's, you know, that's all fair. The accusations, though, if you miss them, are pretty bad. According to the documents, the woman stated the violence continued following the initial outburst. Peppers pushed her down a set of stairs. He threw her against the wall, put her hands around her neck. And when authorities arrived on the scene, the woman had visible scratches on her kneecaps and her forehead area was red. So, again, I mean, this is going to play out how it plays out. And Peppers has a very different take on it. He says that the woman was acting erratic, refused to leave. She fell down the stairs by herself because she was intoxicated. He denied pushing her. And he said that she was making those allegations to try and destroy his career. So, again, like you mentioned, the lawyer coming out of the courthouse today said that they have evidence that contradicts the victim's story. And I expect my client to be fully exonerated. And that's where we are right now. Peppers didn't play. We don't know what's going on for this upcoming game against Houston. I'd imagine you're not going to see him out there. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll be back with Odds and Ends. All right, it's time for Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. Any odds for tonight, Andy? We got Monday Night Football here. Chiefs in action against the – who are the Chiefs playing?
Saints.
Chiefs and the Saints.
It's hurtful. I just said it in my last FanDuel hit.
I was not listening.
It's hurtful.
Why would I listen to your FanDuel hit?
Why not? You might get a good same-game parlay over for Patrick Mahomes on passing yards.
Okay.
Over Alvin Kamara rushing yards and an anytime touchdown by T. Swizzy's Huzzy Buzzy.
I'll tell you what. I did a same-game parlay yesterday.
Did you lose?
I lost every leg of it. I did not hit one leg. It was a four-leg parlay. And I did not hit one single part. I'll even give it to you here. I
guess we think you should be listening to
my advice. I probably should be. I had Justin Fields, anytime touchdown scorer. I had Prescott under 225 yards. Pickens 50-plus receiving. Lamb 70-plus receiving. I wore the sombrero. I was 0-for-4.
You know what I lost and I was pissed?
I should get something for that, I think,
by the way. The anytime Tyreek Hill touchdown on that Christian Gonzalez play where it looked like he caught it and he was celebrating.
Right.
That I hit, and then he was out of bounds.
He was definitely out of bounds.
Odds. We talked about it. I am thinking... You saw that the leading scorer for your Boston Celtics in Abu Dhabi was none other than Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
What if Jaylen Brown wins the MVP this year?
Hmm.
Would you be willing to sprinkle any money on it? Because we checked during the break.
MVP Jaylen Brown.
My friends at FanDuel.
And the MVP of many important series.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of the only trophy he doesn't have right now. He's got all the others.
If he got an MVP before Tatum, ooh, that's juicy.
I don't know who'd be more obnoxious, him or me.
That'd be a juicy summer story, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. But my friends at FanDuel actually have him at plus 10,000.
Okay.
And those are the lowest odds you can get. So they actually think he's a decent candidate. Plus 15,000, plus 20,000 at other places where he's in the running with guys like Fred VanVleet. Like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
He's usually mixed in with, Brian, what'd you say, right behind LeBron, Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, guys like that, Kawhi. I might do it. I like those season-long long shot. It was like my 0-17. The difference here is I can hold out hope longer through the NBA season.
Right.
It can't be rendered useless in week one like my 0-17 bet for the Patriots. But
I like bets
I might
like
sprinkle
that.
On that.
Yeah, those are fun. All right, for my odds and ends, this came out today, I believe. The tweet came out right around the time we went on the air. Kyler Murray, who earned a big win over the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, which was good to me on the books, but I was one of the few ones I got right this weekend, tweeted out, to the trolls who meme me into a bag, thank you. I'm officially launching my Call of Duty partnership, hashtag COD partnership, hashtag the replacer, hashtag Black Ops 6. Now, I'm not a big Call of Duty guy. I'm not really a big video game guy, period. Like, I used to really love video games, and I play, like, the old classic ones sometimes. Mm-hmm. But now, for me, it's just college football and NBA 2K, and that's about it. And I don't play them that much because I have a little kid. It's just hard to find the time.
Damn kids.
Never with Call of Duty. The only Call of Duty I remember playing was the one where you fight the Nazis. Where it was like World War II, I guess.
That was five, according to Brian.
That was five? Okay, that's the last. That's maybe the only one I've ever really played.
Admirable endeavor.
I mean, yeah.
Fighting the Nazis.
I guess, yeah. I figured out, kill some Nazis. But, like, that was, you know, that was it.
What a good guy.
They are, I like Wolfenstein. Those Wolfenstein games, those are fun.
Another good game?
I'm into the Nazi, killing the Nazis.
When did this turn into a dork cast with Rich Keefe?
I'm just saying that Kyler Murray is launching a partnership with Call of Duty, and I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that even means.
He might have his own skin or something, like you'll be able to play as him, or maybe you'll, like, you can wear his jersey or
something.
You're
going to kill the Nazis and you're wearing, like, a Cardinals jersey?
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. So wait, Black Ops, what's the story of Black Ops? Is it, like, modern? I know there's Modern Warfare.
Well,
what's Black Ops?
This one hasn't come out yet. I believe it comes out in the next week or two, actually. So I'll be interesting. I'm not exactly sure what the campaign is, but Saddam Hussein was in the trailer. Bush is in the trailer.
It's like the Gulf War. All right, there you go.
Yeah, I think it actually might be Gulf War.
Interesting. Everyone's wearing camouflage. Kyler Murray's got a bright white helmet on with a red bird on it. I feel like that's going to give away the position. I'm not a military man, Maddie. I wouldn't know for sure, but I think that's something you may not want to do.
Kyler Murray's definitely upped his, whatever that is, Q rating, popularity, total factor. For a while there, the video games were an example of why he was overrated and why he wasn't maximizing his opportunities and succeeding as a quarterback in the NFL. And remember, they put it in the contract that he actually had to watch game film and couldn't play this and that. And now he's, like, throwing up deuces at the 40, scoring touchdowns, beating the Niners.
One of the coolest moves of all time. I mean,
really. Absolutely.
That's right up there with Bo Jackson running up the tunnel and, like, you know, some of these other, like, all-time great
Because
great
if you
moves.
Haven't seen it, it's one thing to throw deuces behind you towards somebody you're already way ahead of. It's another thing when you're maybe 6 yards downfield, you've barely broken sort of the linebacker level of the
defense.
You're
not at full speed yet either.
And you just throw deuces 40 yards from the end zone and go on to score with your little Fred Flintstone quick feet the way he runs. Yeah. But
he's
it
like
was
Speedy Gonzalez.
Absolutely. It was very cool. And his cool factor, he has turned around his sort of reputation very quick. It's funny. You get a guy, a wide receiver, you turn the team around a little bit, you get a new, like, the coach is going in the right direction, all of a sudden the Cardinals look like a team on the rise instead of one that's fumbling and bumbling around
the
top five.
Speaking of people who turn their image around, seen Bill Belichick's latest Instagram salvo here, him and his lady, sunset on Nantucket with that, what's the name of that lighthouse on Nantucket, that famous lighthouse? I forget what it's called. Anyway, it's behind him. He's got a U.S. Nantucket, like, Navy hat on and a Taylor Swift sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's really perfect. I'm sorry. Like, this is really perfection. I know I get angry emails whenever I mock this age gap between the two here, but I'm looking at this picture right now. I see love. I see love in photographic form. That's what I see.
This is literally unbelievable. Like, if you had said, you know,
Taylor Swift
sweatshirt. 8 years ago, I see a future where Bill Belichick is in a Taylor Swift sweatshirt with his 23-year-old girlfriend all over Instagram. Like, everyone would have said, that's stupid. Come up with a different storyline. Come up with a different guess. Like, if this was Back to the Future in the future, you wouldn't believe this storyline. No. And yet, this is reality.
I'd sooner believe that a young version of Bill was visited by an old version and he gave him an old sports almanac.
And that's how he won everything?
He became Biff Tannen. And that's how he won all those championships.
He was cheating.
That's it.
Time travel. That explains it all now.
Sports almanac strikes again. There you go. All right. That's all the time we have. I want to say thanks to Jacoby Brissett and thanks to Jonathan Jones for joining the show today. We are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll be joined by Ross Tucker. And we also have a lot of topics that we completely blew off today, like Jeremy Swayman, like some Red Sox news, Celtics news, other things that we will get to, along with continuing to monitor the situation, many situations with the Patriots, with Peppers, with the quarterback, with everything. We'll get to all of that tomorrow at 2. Stick around as Mego and Fitzy will take you up to Monday Night Football. We're out of here. Bye-bye.